Jim McGovern, it's so wonderful to have you here with us, the beautiful Second District of Massachusetts, right next to my beautiful First District of Massachusetts, represented so ably by our mutual friend, Richie Neal. Okay, so I guess I'm going to ask you, the first question is, this has been a summer protest in America. What should our listeners know about the Democratic police reform package?
Well, look, I think the public wants us to push forward with some sensible reforms. I think the general public is not satisfied with the status quo, that allowed for the murder of George Floyd. And as we all know, that's not it's not unique in this country. The challenges associated with racism and even police brutality have been with us for a long, long, long time. So, I mean, the bill that we passed in the House deals with a qualified immunity. It eliminates that, which has allowed some of the bad police officers to hide behind that in order to not be held accountable. It calls for more transparency. It calls for the demilitarization of the police. And we have this program where the Pentagon can provide police departments with everything from rocket launchers to tanks. A lot of the police departments in Massachusetts don't utilize that, but there are police departments in other parts of the country that do. And so we talk about demilitarizing the police. The citizens of this country are not enemy combatants. And so, you know, we don't need military approaches to policing. And it calls for, investments in other agencies and other departments that, quite frankly, may be more qualified to deal with some of the cases the police currently are responding to. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, mental health, challenges, or, you know, whether it's truancy issues at schools. I mean, maybe we ought to be having schools take care of, you know, the school population. Maybe we ought to be funding mental health services so that appropriate medical professionals could respond to situations that revolve around that. I mean, so, you know, look, it's not perfect, but nonetheless, it is a step in the right direction. It was a bill written by the Congressional Black Caucus. But the problem now is that Mitch McConnell has said we're not interested in taking it up. So as to where it goes from here is uncertain. But by not taking it up, you have individual state legislatures, including here in Massachusetts, doing their own thing. But I think, you know, I've received a lot of calls from some of my friends who are in the police who are upset about some of these bills. And I've received calls from some of my activist friends who say these bills don't go far enough. But I remind them that those of us in public office, need to listen to what public sentiment is. And the same thing for members of our law enforcement. If you do not have public sentiment on your side, if you're not responding to the concerns of the public, then you lose their trust. And I think that that's not good for anybody.
I guess the question is, has this policing thing become a Republican and a Democratic issue?
It shouldn't be a Republican or a Democratic issue. But unfortunately, like everything, issues kind of, fall into those categories oftentimes. I think the president, rather than invoking Nixonian rhetoric like law and order and retweeting racist tweets and basically not acknowledging the severity of some of the crimes that have happened against civilians in this country from individual police officers, quite frankly, who shouldn't even be police officers. But, you know, his downplaying all of that, has inflamed emotions. And, I would like to think that we should have leaders in this country, including presidents, who want to solve problems, who want to, make this country better. Look, we have a problem in this country with systemic racism. We have had that problem for a long, long, long time. And, what happened to George Floyd is not an aberration. It's not unique. I mean, it happens all the time. What made this case a little bit different is that some young teenage girl actually videotaped it. So it's there for everybody to see what happened. And I think most Americans were horrified by that. And so, look, let's figure out how we deal with this issue and how we respond in a way so we prevent those kinds of incidents from happening in the future. But let's not kid ourselves. When we're talking about institutional racism or systemic racism, it's not just the police departments. I mean, that need to be looked at. I mean, it's our education system. It's our healthcare system. It is our housing system. It is where we invest state and federal money. What communities benefit from those resources? And so these are uncomfortable conversations. And because they're uncomfortable, politicians don't want to engage in them. And institutions and agencies and departments don't want to engage in them. But by not dealing with them, you know, the problem doesn't go away. So let's, in the midst of all this controversy and in the midst of this tragedy, let's see what we can find some common ground. Let's see what we can come together and move forward in a way that makes our country better. I don't know why that would be a radical idea, but yet it is, in this current climate, and that's unfortunate.
So, okay, let's go to a different subject because we really have limited time, but the Second House District, where, of course, you work and you represent, is there anything special about it when it comes to combating the coronavirus? In other words, is what's happening in the Second District what's happening in the country, or do you see something in particular that concerns you in your district?
Let me just speak for the entire Commonwealth. I mean, you know, we're doing pretty well compared to other states around the country in terms of lowering the infection rate and also lowering the number of fatalities. We're doing that because we're following the best medical advice. And I'm a Democrat, but I give Governor Baker credit for not, you know, burying his head in the sand, for understanding that this pandemic is serious, and that the way we're going to deal with it is listening to the doctors, the people who know what they're talking about, and listening to the, you know, relying on science. And we did social distancing, we wore masks. I mean, we shut down our economy for a period of time. We're now figuring out how to get back, how to get schools reopened, and we have to be very careful about that to make sure we're doing this in a way that doesn't result in an uptick in cases. But I think here, we were faced with it with a terrible, catastrophic event, and the way we responded to it, I think, was effective. And again, one would have hoped other states would have learned from that, but they didn't. You see what's happening in Florida. You see what happened in Texas. But look, this is real, and I continue to get frustrated. You know, every once in a while, I'll read the comments on my social media, which my daughter tells me not to read, but I do every once in a while. And you have people who will say that this is a hoax, this is not real, or this is just like the flu. Well, we have millions of people who have been infected.
Well, that's the president. Following the president.
Right, it is. Yeah. And over 135,000 people already dead. You know, when people say to me that this is not a big deal, I tell them to talk to our doctors and nurses in our local hospitals. Many of them who are dealing with post-traumatic stress because of what they've witnessed, these terrible deaths of people dying alone because family members couldn't be with them. And it's not just older people. I mean, we are seeing this is also impacting younger people as well, not at as large a scale, but nonetheless, you know, this is serious. And that's why, you know, how we reopen our schools is going to be key. The president is saying that those places that don't reopen their schools, are going to be denied federal money. That's just ridiculous. That's stupidity at its worst. The bottom line is our local officials know when it's safe to open our schools and know how to open our schools in a way that's safe for our kids and our teachers and those who work at our schools. So we need to rely on them and not be intimidated by the president.
Jim McGovern, love talking to you. Always love talking to you. You're a guy who tells it straight. And to me, that's all you want. So when we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you the F question, Fauci. Okay?
All right. Thanks.